Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm doing an email blitz answering your questions because, hey, it's what I do best and what I love doing, helping all of you. Topics include, so you and your partner just started talking about sex, but how do you let him know his technique is off without hurting his feelings? Okay, you've been back and forth with someone for years. Should you move on already or try again? The clitoris. It's the woman's hotspot, but what on earth are you supposed to do when you or your wife just can't seem to find it? And how do you get your prostate needs met for solo pleasure play? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. You guys have been sending so many awesome emails lately that we are dedicating this show to all of your emails, and they're great, so keep them coming. Feedback at sexwithemily.com. We love when you comment and subscribe on iTunes, wherever you're listening. It's great to get your reviews there and your five stars. I love that. And share with a friend. You can also find me, you guys, on Sirius XM Radio. It's Stars Channel 109, and I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 Eastern. And you guys can get a free trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And by the way, you can also just call me between 5 and 7 in the evenings at 888-947-8277 and ask your questions directly. Social media across the board is at Sex with Emily. Also, okay, if you haven't seen it yet, you have to check out my Sex with Emily Vesper. It's an elegant vibrator necklace that you wear it. It's an elegant vibrator that you actually wear as a necklace. It's a really strong, powerful vibrator. It's USB rechargeable, and it comes engraved with one of three limited edition phrases that I wrote for you. You can choose I come first, turn me on, or meditate, masturbate, manifest. If you go to sexwithemily.com, you can, if you go to sexwithemily.com/Vesper, V-E-S-P-E-R, you can get one there. And there are three different colors, or like I get compliments. I wear it every single day. Or go to my Instagram. Check out the pictures that I posted. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, they like actually make every outfit, mostly.
Yeah, they do. I wear it every night, you guys, every day. I stack it with other necklaces, and I always got my vibrator on the neck. You never know where it's going to end up. I'm like, I might need this toy. Also, we're doing a giveaway for Muse, which is flavored lube, which makes oral sex delicious.
I can't believe you can buy it at Bed Bath & Beyond, too,
I know. Thank God. They have like a good lube there, right?
That's the beyond part, guys.
That's beyond. Jamie, I never thought about that. Bed Bath and Beyond, like lubes and stuff like that. If you go to our Instagram, you can find out the details. It ends October 17th. Essentially, just add some flavor to your sex life. Tell us how lube has changed your life. Email us feedback@sexwithemily.com with the contest. Say lube in the subject line. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. We'll know what you're doing. All right. Emails. I love answering your questions. That's why I exist on the planet. If you'd like a question answered on the show, go to sexwithemily.com, fill out the short form, or just email feedback@sexwithemily.com. Just remember this, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And we're cool if you change your name. Mm-hmm. I think most people do. Or like when they call in, definitely they do. So
yeah, it's no, totally
no pressure.
Fine.
No pressure. Help you. All right, first email, Jamie, you want to read it?
I do indeed. Okay, this comes to us from Brianne, who's 30 in Massachusetts. Massachusetts. Wow. States, man.
States. Yeah, up every time. Hi. Orgasm, she's got. Toys, she's got.
Yeah.
States, geography, not.
I don't know. Okay. All right. It says, hi, Dr. Emily. Love your show. I even got my boyfriend of 4 years to listen when we're on long rides together. So I've been all about foreplay lately because it's never happened before, and I now know that it's so important. I love my boyfriend to death and would hate to say something to make him feel bad because we just started talking about sex more, but I'm not finding oral or when he fingers me pleasurable. Sometimes I'm like, what are you doing down there? What do I do? I don't have much of a sex drive, which I'm working on. So obviously I want things that we're doing to feel good, but I don't want to make it awkward or make him feel bad. Thanks.
Okay, great question, Brianne. I'm so glad that you have found the show and that you've got your boyfriend to listen. Now, I'm telling you, I keep hearing this more and more from couples who are like, thank you, Emily, because we listen together, or they actually treat it like like, you know, people have a good book group. They teach it like a podcast group. Like, they'll both listen and then they'll discuss it on, like, later that night if they don't listen together. So it's like a really good, like, just like another tool, you guys, to open up the conversation. So here's the thing. Brianne, I totally understand that you don't want to hurt him or make it awkward. And then you probably are like, but I don't have a sex drive either, so it's probably me. But let me tell you this. You don't have to say it in a way that's going to make him feel inadequate. Say it in a way that's more like, you know, the good old compliment sandwich for sex. We love this technique. You could say to him, I've been thinking about our sex life and it's been, you know, it's been hot lately. And I really love, you know, the first part is something that you love about it. I love how we've been having more passionate sex. And I love when you go down on me and I feel like I've been learning some things lately about my body and I'm going to show you what I really like. I'd love it if you slowed down a little bit, maybe didn't use your fingers, because I know that, like, I'm so close to having the most explosive orgasm and I know you're the one, baby, that can bring me there. My point is you give something you like and then you just give them feedback, but you say, and let me know, babe, I want to know what I can do. Is there anything I'm doing? And you guys, listen, it's all about tone. You want to be curious. You don't want to be, you know, shaming or blaming. You don't want to be like, we have to talk about something serious. It's more like, hey, let's talk about fun ways we can even take this to the next level. That's the gist of it. You can also mutually masturbate because you can show him what you like and then he sees what you like and it's really hot to watch each other. So those are my tips for you. But I also want to say that as far as sex drive goes, this all works together because you're 30 years old. You know, I'm wondering if, you know, maybe you're on some kind of medication or you're just really stressed out. But what I can tell you is that the more that you masturbate, you self-pleasure, and you talk about having more pleasurable sex with your partner and then actually start experiencing that, I think you'll be amazed at your sex drive. I think it's going to come back after some of that. Thanks for the email, Brianne. Keep us posted.
Yeah, I mean, especially like if someone's going down on you, like I try to just be like, oh, it feels so good. I'd love it if you touch me there.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do. Like if it's in the moment, because sometimes people can't take the feedback.
After?
Well, they can take it after, but
in the moment it might be. So I think that if she lays like the groundwork and says, yeah, you know what, there's some moves that I want to do. And next time you're going down on me, I'm going to show you.
Exactly.
So then he's not like, oh no, why is she showing me?
Right. And then in the moment, she's just like,
plant
just
a seed.
Just be breathy. Literally, you could say anything you want.
Do you want to take your finger and move it away from my clitoris? Or take your finger and remove it from my vaginal opening?
Yeah, instead of like, don't stick your finger in there like that.
Right, but don't be like, oh, just be like, hey, babe, maybe more softer touches.
Exactly.
Pubic mound.
Oh, great. You're going to do great, Brienne.
Yeah, we got you, girl.
All right. This next email comes to us from Jim, who is 54 in Texas. Hi, Dr. Emily. My question is about a relationship with a 44-year-old female. We went on 2 dates a while back. The chemistry was so good, but she ended up breaking things off to date someone else. We didn't talk for 5 months, but I saw that they broke up, so I contacted her, and we started chatting every day. Then she pushed me away, saying she didn't want a relationship. I backed off, gave her space. After 2 weeks, I decided to send her an email telling her how I felt. We started talking again almost every day. We spent a few nights together watching movies and kissing. A week later, she told me she could not continue. I was putting too much pressure on her wanting a relationship, and she didn't want one with anyone, not just me. She tells me that she misses me, though, when we're not talking and enjoys cuddling with me. Should I forget her and move on? I just need insight from a lady's perspective, please.
All right, Jim. Now, this is a classic situation where you're into somebody, and she's kind of showing up, but then she feels bad and retracts, says, I can't do it, but like her words are different than her actions, or sometimes the actions are, she's acting like she wants it, and then she's telling you other things. And this is a conundrum. People get into these situations. And I get it. You're like, well, maybe she'll come back to me. But I think this is a case where you have to listen to her words. She's told you several times that she is not looking for a relationship right now. Now, what it sounds like is, without you, you know, she's looking for a casual relationship. Maybe she wants to see you once every 2 weeks, or maybe it's even once a week. Maybe she's dating other people. And so this is something, Jim, you're not going to change her. In fact, the more you pressure her, she's just going to change her number. But if you're open to, you know, dating her and then while still dating other people, that might be a better solution. Now, I know you're 54 years old and this might, you know, I'm just saying this is something that I think I advise a lot of people who maybe aren't looking for marriage necessarily. They're not looking for a longer term commitment. But I feel like, I feel like though, Jim, that might not be for you. You might be looking for your partner and you don't want to mess around with like waiting for her. So my other suggestion is that you just cut it off. And you cut it off and you say that you're really looking for someone who wants something serious and you love spending time with her. And when she's ready for something more serious, she can definitely hit you up. So I think you have to listen to people's words.
Yes, I was literally just in this situation with my roommate. I was like, yeah, we're hooking up, we're having sex, but I don't want a relationship. I don't want any of these things. And I'm finally, it's done with. But it's true. He didn't listen to my words.
He didn't listen to your words because your actions felt so good when he saw you and you were cuddling after. Maybe it felt like
exactly.
We just had such great sex. How could she not want more? And I've been in this situation more times than I'd like to admit where, you know, like in my 20s and probably my 30s, I'd be dating people and I never, you know, I really like them and I would spend time with them, but I was still certain that it wasn't going to go anywhere. For whatever reason, maybe it was them, it was where I was at in my life, I was dating, you know, several people, but I would still like be excited to see them. But when push came to shove and they were like, let's commit, be monogamous, for some people, I was just like, nope, I just can't do it. Mm-mm. So I've been this person though, because, you know, sometimes it just feels great to connect with someone who you really think is, you know, wonderful. And Jim, she probably thinks you're a great guy, but for whatever reason, and we don't need to analyze it, she's not where you're at. Right.
Exactly.
Now. All right, Jim, thanks for the email. Keep us posted. You guys, I want to know from you, if I've given you some advice and it's worked, send an update or send me the next question. Because sometimes people want to know, like, how do I talk to this person about it, right? Or Jim could be like, yeah, you were right. And I moved on and I met this other woman and now we're having this challenge. Like, we want to go along the journey with you.
We do. We care. We don't want to just send you off into the world and never hear from you.
We're just sending you out there. We're not going anywhere.
All right. Speaking of non-monogamy, actually, This came from Camille, 27, in California. Hi, Dr. Emily. I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years, and we've been living together for 3. I've always had attraction to other guys and didn't really know that open relationships were a thing until listening to your show, and now I know that a monogamish relationship sounds really good to me. I broached the subject with my boyfriend, and not even about having sex with other people, but making out and perhaps everything but, and he pretty much freaked out. I said we would never do it if it makes him so uncomfortable, but now he says he will never be able to forget that that's what I want. At a loss from where to go from here, I kind of wish I never said anything. And now consider not bringing up hard conversations.
Oh. All right. So here's the thing. I totally understand, Camille, why you said this after 8 years. And I feel like that it's probably the way that you brought it up that totally threw him off. After 8 years, you're saying, hey, maybe we could explore open relationships. He's like, who is it? You're going to want to leave me. I can't trust you, which I understand. So I think that you have to just do your best now to really put some more words around it and let him know that he is enough for you. And it was just, and maybe you could do some thinking here. Because I want to know, Camille, sometimes we ask for something and then we get this strong reaction. And then we're just like, no, babe, I swear I don't want it. But maybe you do want it. Maybe Camille, after 8 years, maybe there's a part of you that's like, yeah, I want to know what else is out there. I actually do kind of want to open this up. And so you have, so then I would say, if that is the case, it makes sense that he would have responded that way to the first conversation. But maybe just follow up. You could say, you know what? I'm sorry the way that I sprung this on you. But what I was really thinking is, I'm 27 years old. We've been together for 8 years. I love our sex life. I've thought that I want to spend the rest of my life with you and all these things. But I have to be honest, as a 27-year-old woman, it feels like I still would like some more experience. You know, I talk about on the show all the time that I think your 20s are a great time to experiment and to figure out what you want, not even just sexually or romantically, but even professionally. So it's a time of growth and discovery, and maybe you're going in different directions. But all I'm saying is, make sure that you're not overcorrecting and shutting this down, because I want to legitimize your feelings here and tell you that, like, it would make sense if you've been feeling like maybe we could open it up. But just also know it's not for everybody.
Yeah, and then he probably freaked out initially, but maybe after time to think about it, he might come around, or he might understand, or be able to explain to her better. Because I feel like if I had never, like, I was completely in love with my partner and had been together for 8 years, and they came and told me that, I might react the same way, like, oh my God, I'm not enough for you, I'm never going to be enough for you. When it's like, it's not just about that. It's just more about, like, curiosity.
It's more about curiosity, and it's more about experience. Yeah. So exactly. Maybe you guys could, like, we have some episodes on open relationships that you could listen to. There's a great book by Tristan Taramino called Opening Up. And this goes for everybody with a partner right now. If you've brought up anything, maybe you said, I want to try a threesome, I want to buy a sex toy, I want to have sex outdoors. If it was like your partner was like, no, and they shut it down, typically it's because they don't really understand the scenario and what you mean by it, and they feel threatened that they're not enough. So here, Camille, maybe you have more information to form. You could say, I just thought that maybe I could go out and kiss someone, or I was just picturing it would be us together swinging, or he probably just needs to understand what that would look like. Put more words around it, because people just assume the worst case scenario, and typically it's, I'm failing as a lover.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to put more words around it, explain to them where you're at. All right. Okay, you guys know that my show is all about making sex and everything that goes along with it easier to talk about. And I'm going to be honest, that includes your period. I mean, it's something that 50% of us experience, and we don't talk about it either, even with other women. I mean, we might just say, like, I have my period, but, like, you know, we don't really, like, get into how we're feeling about it. We just complain.
Yeah, I mean,
we never talk to our partners.
No. And, like, my roommate was, like, trying to do something nice. He was going to, like, do my laundry for me, and I was like, oh, no, I'm good. Because I'm like, I have, like, no offense, but, like, women, we get stains on our underwear sometimes, honestly.
Yeah, the period underwear. Well, James, here's the thing. These are, this is a game changer, you guys. If you haven't heard of Thinks, and I think they've been out there advertising, because I heard about them a year ago when I got them, James. They're period-proof underwear you can use to back up or even replace other methods. Thinks absorbs up to 4 tampons worth of your flow without leaks, stains, or odor.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is a thing?
I know. Okay, so my friend Shirley told me about them. She was like, I got Thinks for me and my daughter, her 15-year-old daughter. I was like, oh, I heard about this. It was like probably a year and a half ago, before I got them. And yeah, I was like, what do you mean? Same thing. And they're like, yeah, you wear them and it, like, has a special material where it doesn't drip through. Like, you really don't have to worry about it. Because she was like, if I friggin' go to work again with, like, stains in my pants. And so she got them. Like, her daughter's 14, like 15 now, and they have, like, you know, a bunch of them in the house. So it really works. Like, you're not walking around, like, I'm trying to think of what a good, it just sort of,
I feel we're
evaporates.
All, yeah, we're all conscious too. I'm like, oh my, especially even if I have my tampon in, I'm like, am I smelling? I feel like I'm good. I don't know.
There's no odor. It's this really super cool material. And they're not big. They're not bulky. You know, like, instead of, like, tossing out your pads or tampons, you just toss the things. You put them in the wash and then you reuse them. They've been a game changer for so many women I know. Jamie, they're sending you a pair this week.
Oh my God.
Not to worry. I don't think we even talked about this, but they're coming. If you've periods, you have to try Thinks. Check them out for yourself. Go to periodbetter.com. Use code Emily. Save $10 on your first pair. Just try one pair, you guys, and you are going to love them. That's periodbetter.com. And use code Emily to save $10 today.
Oh my God. And they're coming. I'm so excited.
Yeah, they're coming, dude. They're coming, like, next week. I think they might. Yeah. Oh, they're coming. Yay. Speaking of that, We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back into more of your emails.
All right. Coming back in, we have Layan, 32 in Canada. He writes, "Hi, Dr. Emily. My wife and I have been together for 9 years and have three perfect little minions aged 1.5 to 5.5. First question is, how can I get my wife more in the mood for sex? I cook and clean and try helping out around the house when I can. Second is, how on God's green earth can I find her clit when she has trouble finding it? Any feedback is greatly appreciated."
Ah, Layan, that's a lot of children. I get it. I get your question here. 9 years, three little children. Congratulations on that. You guys have been busy. I get it. And she's probably not in the mood and she's super busy. And this happens after you have kids and a lot of little kids. So just remember, you don't have to figure this all out on your own. You know, talk to her about it. You know, find out, say, what does get you in the mood? What are some kind of things that really like turn you on? You know, maybe she just needs a babysitter. She needs some more baths. She needs massages. She might need something to kind of help take some of the anxiety and stress out. For your second question, you know, women, it's hard to find the clitoris. If, first of all, if she hasn't looked on her own, that can be challenging. But for some women, it's just more hidden. It might be under the clitoral hood. For many women, once we get aroused, that it swells up and then you can find it, like the hood moves back and then there's the clitoris. So your wife can look in a mirror and she can kind of look at it if she's masturbating to find it, or you can look together. It's actually really hot to have your partner sit there, like get some lube and just start massaging her and like playing and like just kind of really light touches over her clitoris where you think it might be, play with her labia and just like get curious. I mean, I don't think it will take very long for you guys to find together. Mm-hmm. And then you can see what it feels like. I would light a candle so you can actually find your way around. And so I think that could be a really fun assignment you guys could do together, searching for the clitoris.
I mean, I've
slow and steady,
right? I've only had a couple partners like really like take a look down there. And the first time it happened, I was like, what are you doing? And they were just like, no, I just love your setup. Like,
yeah,
your vagina.
I love how it's all. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that made me feel really good. I've only had a couple partners do that. Cause at first I was like, oh no, yeah, something's wrong. And they're like, no, like I'm loving, I just wanted to take it in.
I've had partners do that. And it's literally like the sexiest thing they can do. I think.
Seriously.
It's so hot. Cause this is the, you know how I always say like for men, like one of the sexiest things you can do is, like when you're going down on a woman, say like, oh, babe, I'm not going anywhere. We have all night. Like I want to be between your legs in a minute. But when they actually look, and they're like, just stare, and they stop, and they look up at you. It's friggin' hot.
It is.
So as long as you can not trip on, what's he thinking I look like? He's looking at your beautiful vulva, your vagina, and it's hot.
It is.
Do that move as well, guys. It's not even a move. Learn to, like, worship it. It's beautiful.
Worship the pussy.
Yeah.
I know you don't like that word.
It's okay. Worship the penis, too.
There we go.
All of it, you guys. How good does it feel to be worshipped?
It does.
We love it.
All right, this next one comes to us from Ashley, who's 30 in New Jersey. Hi, Dr. Emily. First, thank you so much. Listening to you has improved my sex life tremendously. I'm reaching out because I'm getting married in 2 months, and I have one thing stuck on my mind before I say I do. I've always wanted to hook up with a female, and when I say hook up, I mean the whole damn thing, strap on and all. I was thinking of doing it while he was on his bachelor party, but I feel guilty. He'd also never be okay with it if I was open about it. So do I just say fuck it and do it behind his back?
Ooh, thanks for the question, Ashley. All right, you're about to get married, and I'm going to tell you this. Before you get married to this guy, you have to be honest with him. I don't think you want to start a marriage thinking like, well, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. I've got this fantasy being with a woman. And I think this really is informative for you. So if you, because if you don't experiment, what happens is we start to resent our partner over time, and it's an itch you got to scratch. So I think you absolutely have to let him know that it's a fantasy you've had, that it's something that you want to try, and you've always thought about it. And you have to say it in a way that is just very loving, and you can ask him if there's any fantasies that he's had. This is how you could say it. You could say, you know what, I've been thinking about our wedding come up, and I've had some things I've been wanting to try. How about you? And then you share, like, I've thought about being with a woman, and I didn't know how you'd feel about that, but I'm being honest. And this is going to be a great jumping off point for you guys to figure out where you're at sexually. You know, you can let him know that if he's worried, like he's not never going to be enough for you, you know, I think you're going to have to reassure him. But also, maybe this is a sign to you that, yeah, this is, you have some more playing to do, some more experimenting. So just open the conversation. I'm telling this to everybody who's about to get married or you're engaged, it's also never too late if you're married. But if you have not committed yet down this path, you have to have a conversation about your sex life and your fantasies. Do you like sex? How important is it to you? You know, commit in your vows. They don't have to be the public vows, but you guys are going to prioritize your sex life and that you're going to do the best you can to have open communication, you know, to work on it, to try new things, because the things that are most challenging for couples is they get bored. And that's because there's not enough novelty and spontaneity. And so if you guys commit to each other, we're going to work on this. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen to us. You're going to be way ahead of the game. So maybe that conversation even opens that up for you. I highly recommend a very directed, honest, vulnerable, thoughtful conversation about your sex life before you walk down the aisle.
I also feel like if they can get through that, then they're going to be set up for success the rest of the time.
It reminds me of Laura Wasser. She was on our show. She's like a celebrity divorce attorney. And she was like, I don't think that everybody needs a prenup, but have a prenup conversation. Mm-hmm. And that conversation is like, do you have debt? Do you want children?
Yes.
Do you, if my mom gets sick, she's going to come live with us. Once we have kids, I'm going to go back to work. Like whatever it is. Talk about these things. And I think we have to all talk about our sex life before we commit for life, please. Or commit at all. Why would you commit to someone that you're not on the same page with sexually? That should be the first thing. People are so concerned, like, yeah, I guess, are we the same religion? Or does this person have a job? And da da da. But we don't think about sex. We think that's just going to sort itself out.
It's literally what I like think about so many times when we get calls and emails. I'm like, they could have had the conversation early, but it's never too late to fix it. But also,
yeah, exactly. All right,
this next one comes to us from Peter, who's also 30 in South Carolina. Dear Dr. Emily, I've been a longtime listener of your show and have learned so much from you over the years. You've opened up my sex life like no one else has. A number of years ago, I discovered how much I enjoy anal play. However, since I can never find a girl who is into performing this aspect with me, I have to do this type of pleasuring by myself. A couple years ago, I bought a vibrator and it was okay. Not too long ago, I bought a realistic dildo. This was also okay. The first was not large enough, and the second was too big to really give me the pleasure I'm looking for. I know there are a lot of toys out there for men, but just don't know what to try. I'd love a prostate massager and any other penetrative toys, but don't know what actually works. Could you help me? Thanks.
All right, Peter. Here's the thing. For sure, you're going to want to get a toy that is made for your butt. A dildo, it makes sense that you didn't like any of the dildos. I would recommend getting a great prostate toy that's like designed just for your prostate. The WeVi Vector, body safe silicone. It's a prostate massager. It's curved to find the prostate and it also stimulates your perineum at the same time for even more stimulation, which is that the taint, as they say, which is in between your...
The taint or the gooch.
The gooch.
I love that one.
So also it works with the WeConnect app, so it's much easier to control. And just be patient with yourself. You know, you might not get there right away, but I love that you're experimenting. The other thing is you're going to be able to find someone that wants to do this with you. So I would not give up your hope on that. And maybe it's also the way you're bringing it up. Maybe you could just say, have you ever done anal play? Maybe you could say, I'd like to try it on you. And I found lately that it's something that I'm into. So I think the good news is that more and more people are hearing that this is something that men and women like. That doesn't make it gay. Sex talk doesn't make it gay. But that men have a lot of delicious nerve endings that could feel amazing when stimulated. So I think, Peter, keep on the lookout. Keep having this talk with women and finding someone who is on board.
All right, this next one comes to us from Amy, 25 in Canada. Hi, Dr. Emily. I love your show. I find myself recommending it at least a few times a week. In the past 6 months, I've been expanding my knowledge of sex. I listen to podcasts, research, and have more open conversations with my friends and partners around the topic. However, recently, I've been feeling overwhelmed with all the information, my sexual experience, and what I should be doing in the bedroom. It's caused me a lot of anxiety, much to the point that I get incredibly anxious every time I know a guy is staying over. I find it hard to be present and constantly think about all the stuff I should be doing during sex so it's not so vanilla and that I'm doing it right. Do you have any advice on how I can carry on learning about sex, deepening my sexual experiences, but not getting anxious that I'm doing it wrong or that I'm boring?
I love Amy. Like, totally overachiever here. Type A. She's like, I'm a sex expert now, and now I'm in my head about it. Well, I think you've done the really important part. You've done your research. You've had a lot of education around Amy around sex, which is amazing. But now, my best advice for you is to just be present with whoever your partner is. Let me tell you this. I'm even a sex expert, and I sleep with men, and I'm not like, oh, God, I better pull out all the stops this time he's over. I better do this special blowjob trick and have all my moves down. No. sex, when you come together with somebody and there's an attraction, you guys get to, the more present you are and you're out of your head, I think a great way to do it is kind of just keep bringing yourself back to the moment through focusing on your senses. You know, God, how did my hands feel on his skin? Okay, his skin's really soft. And what am I smelling? I, you know, this massage candle that you've lit, and my, I'm listening to the sound of my breath. And you bring in all of your senses. And when you do that, you have no choice but to be grounded in the moment. Now, here's the thing. With every partner, we all have the opportunity to become a great lover, because every partner is a new experience. So I think paying attention, being in your body, paying attention to, you know, to how he's responding to things, but also just like being yourself. Things are going to come to you in this way. But most of the time when we're having challenges in the bedroom, it's because we are so in our head and we're so anxious and we're so worried. So I would really say that you're going to now, like you have learned all the mess, all the information. And now I say, deepen your sexual experience by learning to be present with each new lover and then learning how to talk about it, which we talk about a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Maybe after. How was that? Was it fun? Were you into it? Like, what can I do? I tell him what you really liked.
I love that she's an overachiever.
Such an overachiever.
Yeah, she's just like, oh my God, and I'm going to be the expert, and I'm going to be great. But it's like, if it's not feeling good to you or you're into your head, then it's like the research at that point doesn't matter. It's more about like a me search,
exactly.
Right? You always
it's
say
me
that.
Search.
That's
research
what you always
is
say.
Me search. We all have to do our own work. So you've done all the research. Now you got to do the me search.
Love it.
I love it.
All right. This last one comes to us from April 26 in California. Hello, Dr. Emily. I was wondering what to do if my significant other can only orgasm going really fast. I can handle it maybe once, but if we have sex every day, I get very sore and can't even have sex anymore. We use lube, but are we maybe not using the right one? I don't know if I can change the way he needs to orgasm. I'm not sure if I want to live a life of pain with sex. He told me to talk to a gynecologist about this, but I know it's because he likes to go very fast. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. I've had relationships before and never had this issue, so any advice would help because I do like being with this current guy, and we are taking things to the next level and moving in together. I don't think this should interfere with our relationship. I hope it's solvable. Maybe it means we need to have sex less often. Thanks for any tips.
All right, April. This is a really common question because it sounds to me like he's just doing the jackhammer. He's just pounding away at you because that's how he's learned, you know, to have sex with you. And maybe he saw that in porn. You know, this is where I have a problem with porn, that a lot of people today, that's the first sex or the only sex they've ever seen. So he's like, of course I'm supposed to pound away at you. But the reality is, for majority of women, that doesn't feel good. That's not what we want. It doesn't hit our clitoris. It doesn't, you know, doesn't give us pleasure. So you are not doomed to painful sex. Your relationship doesn't have to end. And I think he can retrain himself to finish in a different way. Now, you have to let him know that speed, and I think it might even be the depth, like he's going really fast and really deep, it's discomfort. And actually, for a lot of women, slower sex is what feels good. So he's probably just not had a partner point this out to him, right? I mean, you guys are still in your 20s. It doesn't matter. And I don't care if he's had sex with 100 women. People are like, but he's had a lot of lovers. That doesn't mean that any of them ever gave him feedback. So that, you do not have a ground to stand on with that. So I feel like definitely use a great lube. We love Uber Lube or pure silicone. Lube is great. Or they're pure silicone. What's it called? Well, Uber Lube is great because it lasts longer and it's silicone. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful bottle and you don't have to keep reapplying it. There's also Pure Woman's Nude. It's safe, water-based. And then there's also Womb or Play, which is coconut oil. And those are like the oily ones. The oil lube and the silicone lube are great for this. But I think it's also a matter of like retraining him. Now, again, you guys, a lot of us, I'd say the majority of us, we learn one way to masturbate, one way to orgasm, and that's what we do for the rest of our life. But he can learn to do it in other ways. You know, he can. I promise you, he just hasn't experimented. This is like, sure, far away, I'm going to blow. But he could slow it down, he could remove it, and he could just jack himself off at the end after you have your orgasm, which I hope you do. So I think you guys just need to work around, and that you need to get some information to understand that there are other paths, other ways to move.
Yeah, I mean, I have definitely been jackhammered before, and I'm just like, dude, I'm like a human being.
Yeah,
by
don't
the way.
Pound away at me. So yeah, I have to. Believe me. Now, here's the other thing. I know you said you didn't have pain before with anyone else, so that leads me to believe your hypothesis here that it's about his jackhammering. But again, if it continues, anyway, you should definitely go see your doctor to find out what that pain's about. A lot of women have pain during sex, and they just accept it as normal, and they just kind of suffer. So I don't want that to happen to you either. All right, Jamie. Thank you, producer Jamie. And thank you, everybody. I love hearing from you. Thank you for supporting the show as we head into our 15th year in 2020.
Oh, my God.
I've been doing a lot of podcasts, you guys, here for you. And I just thank you for supporting the show and telling a friend. And I love you all. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, Elisa, and Jamie, of course, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.